Welcome to the Sustaining Creativity Podcast. I'm your host, Mari Riesberg. Over the past several years, I've combined my degrees in acting and somatic psychology to share my sustaining creativity techniques with performers. And now I've decided to share it with a bigger audience that includes you. I believe we are all creative, and this podcast is all about that. I'll be interviewing people from all backgrounds, ages, and creativity experiences to share just how creative we all are. Today, I'll be chatting with Dr. Simon Dove, Network Spinal Analysis Chiropractor. In the forefront, he is committed to helping people become resourceful and operating at their optimum. His focus has been on a unique form of chiropractic that addresses not only physical alignments and traumas, but also mental and emotional tensions as they appear to the nervous system. Please enjoy Dr. Simon Dove. Welcome to the Sustaining Creativity Podcast. Today, I am here with Dr. Simon Dove, a dear, dear friend. We have known each other for 13 years, and we met through your beautiful wife, who I went to grad school with, and I am so excited to have you here today to chat about creativity. So welcome to the podcast.
Thanks so much, Mari. And you're right, my wife is beautiful. No, 13 years. Wow. That's amazing and wonderful.
I know. I love it. And I love that I've been able to be a part of your life and your family's life and over these years and consider you family too. So, yay. And welcome
to
the podcast.
Yes, ma'am.
And for those, I feel like we could just jump in and not give anyone any background. However, for those listening, if you wouldn't mind letting everyone know a little bit more about who you are and what you do.
Oh, sure. So I'm serving the community up here in Fort Collins, Colorado, and throughout Northern Colorado as a chiropractor. And in chiropractic, a lot of people may not know this, there are easily over 200 different techniques. And I've really been both enchanted and inspired and challenged by this wonderful technique called network spinal or network spinal analysis. And that's what I do up here.
That's awesome. And I have had the privilege to have you as a chiropractor for network spinal analysis. And it's definitely been a departure from other chiropractic experiences that I've had. And I thoroughly enjoy the version that you do. So thank you for sharing it and for continuing to do it.
Oh, for sure.
Well, I know you also have a fairly creative history and background. And before we hear about that, or if you feel like you want to share about that, when you think about creativity, what does it mean to you to be creative?
Wow. It means a lot. It's I put it in the category with sort of an integral piece of life, even daily life. You know, there's a small scale of creating your outfit for the day, I guess you could say. I look at creativity as the tool that helps you get through some of the challenges of the day, whether it's a physical, mental, or emotional. It's like, how am I going to navigate this one? So I really think that that's the tool that helps us there as well. Of course, mixed with experience and whatever other tools, but creativity is at the core. So it means to me living, and without it seems horrible and possible and maybe impossible. of course, the other areas that are sort of more traditionally relegated to the word creativity, like the arts, whether it's painting, drawing, dancing, singing, all that good stuff.
I
say?
Yeah.
I would say, and this is not an original quote, I heard this, and I thought this is absolutely perfect, which was really that people think that science drives a culture, but by far it's the arts that drive any culture. And when I say drive, I don't mean just the force behind it, but directing its growth, directing its evolution as a culture, that it's the arts. So that's how needed I feel that creativity is and the arts.
I love it. I
drop the mic. We're done.
I agree. Not that science isn't important. It's valuable. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of creativity that goes into science as well. So I think they're both important. And I agree with you that the arts are what drives culture and community and into bigger, deeper opportunities. So I think that is fantastic. And I'm really curious, as a chiropractor, how do you think creativity shows up or impacts your kind of everyday chiropractic work?
Love that question. It is definitely a creative process, being that I work with living humans. If I was working with dead humans, it probably wouldn't be as complex or in need of creativity. But we're all so unique. Even the people that I have people that and I refer to them as practice members as opposed to patients, because using, again, words and the creative power of words, mm-hmm. I really think that a practice member is somebody who's in partnership with you. In the beginning, they may start as a patient, meaning they really in a situation where they need an outstretched hand to pull them figuratively out of rough water. Mm-hmm. That's more of a patient relationship. I'm here to take over and help you because you're in a bad way. But soon, practice member, you're sort of co-joining in the process. And healing is a creative process. So there are people in my office that I've had the privilege of working with for easily 8-10 years. Mm. And even though I know them, every day is different. That person may be on the table and what presents today. And then as we start the process, how their spine releases tension or gets reconnected or unwinds, that it can be unique. So I can't be napping. I tried, it doesn't work. You really have to kind of keep your creative wits about you and serve that person.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
So every day for sure.
Yeah, wonderful. I think that just, you also have like an openness and a willingness to follow creativity as it arises in someone's spine or with how they show up on the table in that moment. I think that takes a lot of trust, a lot of courage. Mm-hmm. These are my words.
Those are good words.
but mm-hmm. yeah, that's what it sounds like to me.
Most definitely. And interestingly enough, my training in life as an adult started with art, studio art.
Mm-hmm.
And what's wild is to think, and that was my goal as a kid. It was the only goal. I was going to be a musician or an artist or both, and was on my way and went to Italy. And, you know, there I was like, this is the Mecca for art. Like I'm in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So while I was there, I sort of got introduced to this style in chiropractic, and it really just blew my mind and what it was about and what I started experiencing within myself and the creative processes along with it. So here I am, and I would never have plotted that course. You know, someone came up to me in my office, and there at different times people at the office would say, wow, I love this stuff. I'm going to go be a chiropractor. The first words out of my mouth aren't, you know what you should do is go to art school first and become a studio art major. And yet, even though I wouldn't say that, the fact that that was my path, I look back with such gratitude and awe for the perfection of it. Because at first, you know, I was like, oh, that's not going to be a really useful tool, I guess. I didn't think it was going to be a problem, but I didn't see it as, oh, this is going to be great. This is going to help me be a chiropractor. And lo and behold, it surely has. And when I've reflected about this often, and when I think, well, what is art for me? When I would take on a large painting, especially, I would have a feeling. I could even maybe visualize it. And I would keep thinking about it and feeling about it. And when you start doing that, you're leaving just two-dimensional and three-dimensional constructs. You're getting into fourth and possibly fifth dimensional feelings and awarenesses. But the challenge to the artist is to bring that and put it into 2D or 3D reality. And it's like, what? So it's wonderful. It's frustrating. It's intoxicating. It's compelling. You can get obsessed all those things. So learning that part of the creative language or process has been invaluable to me, because a person will come in and I can listen to them and hear what's going on now. And often in the beginning, it's very symptom oriented. And what I start to hear, though, is where they were previous to all this, and most important, or equally important, where they would like to be. And possibly for them, what spiritual or soul calling is nudging them to create within their life. So I see where they could be. Here is where they are. Similar to my art story, I see this amazing painting or this amazing piece of art. How the heck am I going to get that from point A to point B? So that creative process and the being willing to trust and use your skills and use your tools and listen and love and serve, which I got very schooled in the art world, has really been a useful tool when dealing with people and their health, is how to create something that's not quite here yet. Yeah.
Nice. For those listeners who don't know what network spinal analysis is, can you give us like the 30-second sound bite on what your type of chiropractic is?
So in chiropractic, there are easily over 200 techniques, as I said before. You could group those into light force and high force. High force is the classic, you know, thrust. You may hear a pop or a click. Doctors usually using his hands. Light force, it could be tapping with fingers, a little gentle instruments, the table drops, all very gentle things. This was a grouping together. Network chiropractic was a grouping together of the top 20 hits, you could say, of chiropractic. And it was a combination of the high force and low force. So Dr. Epstein kind of wrapped up some elements. They are not a copy of all these, but the elements to just amazing system of how to help align the spine. So it uses the light force and the high force.
Nice.
So you're laying on the table and it's a sequence of very light touches along the spine, mostly in the neck and skull area and at the sacrum or tailbone. So that's how two would be. It's a little longer on the table, 10 to 12 minutes, light touch.
Great.
What we're doing that is, I think, part of its gift is helping the brain and body reconnect. They're designed to be connected, but we can blow a fuse, so to speak, or shift in a different neurological perspective in our brain where we're more in fight or flight or freeze, and we are not feeling, we're not connecting. Instead, we're surviving, which it's an important piece. But if you get stuck there, then you're not going to be able to be creative and do that healing work that your body needs. So the light touch is not trying to flick a bone or or tickle a bone into position, but instead it's stimulating in specific spots along the spine to help the nervous system kind of sync up into more into the frontal lobe areas of the brain and other areas of the brain that facilitate connection.
Nice. I think that, yeah, that's great. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you. My pleasure.
You've talked a little bit about kind of some challenges and, when you think about challenges or blocks that you've experienced with creativity, whether in fine art or chiropractic, how have you, well, first, what are they and how have you navigated them?
A good one. You know, a good, a familiar block that I see in myself and other people with creativity is non-acceptance. And it's a funny thing because, you know, you cannot accept what is, and that strives you to do better. If you do too much of that, and then you're not in the presence with whatever is happening, so you're at a disadvantage because you're not listening, you're not connected. So and if I'm, this is what I mean, for example, if a person's on the table and I'm getting stressed and feeling this person shouldn't be where they are, I'll give a story. Let's say I've been working with them for 3 months, and in 3 months, this person should be farther along their healing process, let's say. They should have less symptoms. They should be happier. They should be smiling more and telling me how great I am. You know, all these classic things that we get hooked into, either our ego or we're afraid. We're afraid about something. And that creates that disconnection and thus a really big challenge to the creative process, because I'm not accepting where they are. Where they are is where they are. And if I can then take a deep breath, which is one of my favorite tools, if I catch myself, and just feel my own resources start connecting, 99% of the time, my vision changes. I'll literally at the table just notice an area that I'm not paying attention to that gives me some insight or gives me some access for this person's nervous system. Or a question that I need to ask myself inside, or a question I need to ask the person out loud. So simply by accepting where it is, if I feel overwhelmed with a challenge, stress, fear, oriented usually, to take a breath, one of my favorite tools, and then just listen. And part of the listening is an exercise in just have faith. Just, it's okay. It's not all on my shoulders, and they are where they're at, and how can I show up? How can I serve? How can I handle this challenge? Very different than, the challenge is all, it's just like the last time when it was that other person. That's not going to work out.
But that kind of accepting the reality of the situation of what is right in front of you, not trying to make it something that it isn't, but it also sounds like you have the capacity to have that awareness of when you get caught up in that hamster wheel space, and that breath of slowing down gives you the capacity to have a little more expansion, to see things differently, which I think is such a great tool that many, many people will benefit from, just taking a breath and slowing down. Because sometimes the pace of things, it sounds like, can definitely be the challenge, where we think maybe it's the fear, but the pace that we're going is ramping up that fear or anxiety or worry that we're not going to get it right or we're missing something. And when we slow down, there's more opportunity to see what is right in front of us.
Yes. It's so underrated. It's crazy. It's like, it's not sexy enough or not exciting enough. I mean, in your gifted line of work, it's like just the research of literally, if you just take a deep breath, can be the difference between going ballistic and like really making a mess in a very stressful situation. Really, a deep breath. Underrated.
Absolutely. It is underrated.
Really is.
You mentioned from childhood thinking that you were either going to be an artist or a musician, and that was your path. I'm really curious, when you think about your childhood or teen years, what is your earliest memory of being creative?
Oh, cool question. My earliest memory of being creative. I'll just kind of go with what pops into my mind. There was a, I don't know how accurate I'll be with time, but I think this might be kindergarten or first grade. Don't have a lot of memory back then, but like this is one of them. And it was a drawing. No, you know what this was? And I don't know if it answers the question so much, but it stimulated so much creative focus for me is the word I'll use. I think it was a piece of leather that a teacher had as a necklace. So it was some sort of tooled leather. And there was some not only tooled, but a little bit of coloring in it. And I think it was a bird face or something. And I was absolutely mesmerized by this thing. She was a very sweet lady. I was new to the school. I think she wind up giving it to me as a, I think it was a sweet gesture of comfort. You know, it was like big move from far away. And you know, so, but I used to stare at this thing and imagine, how do you make that? What is that like? And of course, like touch it and feel it and try to balance it. And I just remember spending so much time. So that would, I guess, would be more in the creative process as opposed to creating. As far as creating, me actually doing the creating, I just remember as a kid being outside and I guess being a pupil of Andrew Goldsworthy. For those of you who don't know, he's like this amazing artist that like picks up just nature objects and makes these most amazing. So it was like lining up rocks and sticks and putting leaves on top of the sticks and making little houses and drawing, a lot of drawing. In the car, out of the car, in the bedroom, on the floor, at a desk, a lot of drawing.
I love it. In the car, that's impressive. I'm impressed with in the car
Oh
drawing.
yeah, did you ever do the, I think my mom taught it to me. You just get a piece of paper on your lap and you hold the pen, but gently without squeezing it. And you just let the bumps and the vibration of the car like guide your hand and move your hand. So you made this like bizarre scribble
Oh my
art.
gosh, that's
And then
amazing.
I'd go back in and color the little, like it would be then this weird stained glass window thing.
That's so cool. What a fun, like,
It
driving
was fun.
distraction for a small child. I love it.
Yeah, I was just, oh, I just tried to teach Brooks it the last trip. Who's six? We got
That's
distracted
amazing.
with dinosaurs. We'll
Oh,
get
that happens.
there.
You'll get to the art. It'll happen.
Yeah.
Nice. I mean, I hear so much inspiration. Like you're so inspired by so many different things, from, pieces of art to nature to people. If you were thinking about you today in your life, who or what inspires you?
You know, it's funny. I mentioned the Andrew Goldsworthy, and he pops into my head, you know, a few times a year. And for somebody who I don't know and haven't studied, it's kind of interesting that he pops in. And what inspires me about him is his mix of contemplation of an idea. And he goes through the very classic artist process of sketching out the idea and contemplating it and getting the logistics of weather and does he need any tools and all that sort of stuff. And then he goes to work. And the patience this guy has is very inspiring to me. And with the creative process for sure, but literally too, just his some of his projects take day non-stop 12-hour days outside. I like it's inspiring and so beautiful that he's like he's just using nature. There's something too, I think there I still have this little artist piece within me, kind of jumping up and down going, when's my turn? I want to come out and play again. So he's inspiring. And you know, the my mentors in the field of chiropractic inspire me. And there's Donald Epstein, the founder of the technique, for sure, of just how to look at the nervous system, the person, the being, is inspiring, very inspiring.
Nice. I love it. I love hearing all different aspects, the chiropractic, the artist, because I think the reality is we are more than just one part of ourselves. Like we have this collection, and recognizing that one area can impact and influence another and be inspiring to another part of our experience and who we are as a human. And I know you have a very large community because I'm part of it. I'm really curious, when you think about your community, how does your community impact or influence your creativity?
Oh, heavily. And I think as the years go by, I notice that more. As a young doctor, I would ask questions outside my office to fellow colleagues, within the profession, the questions of, maybe what should I focus on this month for my existing practice members or patients or clients, you could say. And or practice building, the office itself or And then I've come to learn to ask those questions of the people that are here directly.
Nice.
And, it's sort of put out a questionnaire, just, hey, what would you guys like to see happen in your care? Or me offer at the office? Or so it's been fun to start that. And it creates a little bit more intimacy. And connection with the clients, and also feels good knowing that I don't have to guess, am I giving them what they want? They told me this is what they want. Makes me wonder, like, why wasn't I asking these questions right out of school?
I think that that feels very common to me, like asking the professionals what you should do versus asking the people actually receiving the service what you should do. I'm navigating that myself at this moment. So it resonates very much with me.
We don't have to be so separated. We're just all people and we can co-create.
I like that. Yeah, the co-creating reality and experiences is great and super, super valuable. I mean, I hear there's so much creativity in your life that it's just kind of embedded in who you are and your DNA and your life force and how you do things. But when you think about everyday issues that you navigate, what is an everyday issue that you've had to use creativity to solve?
Time.
Say
There's not
more.
enough
Not enough time.
time.
Oh, okay.
How am I going to do that? I've had some bizarre experiences actually in playing with that. So, well, to answer your question, so feeling like there's not enough time, and there's a sort of very mental approach to how to be creative. We can just call how to reorganize. You can creatively reorganize things to then facilitate more time. Great. Awesome. And it usually works with all the common alignments called take a deep breath, relax, and get creative. Like, don't, if you're going to be fixated, you're not going to be creative. You're going to be fixated. So we've got to get a little flexibility in there and figure out how you can reorganize it. But I've had some wild experiences of, I guess on the street you would call it time bending or, transcending time. And I really don't, it might have just been because you can get in a sort of adrenaline state, so you're not really paying attention or tracking. But I remember a time going to the airport, and I wasn't speeding. I mean, that's one solution. I can get there quick. I'll just go 40 miles over the speed. No, I'm not condoning that. Don't do that. Not a good creative solution. I just blocked everything out and kept focusing. Obviously, focusing on my driving and what was going on, but just kept visualizing arriving, visualizing arriving, visualizing being there, getting there, no problems. And it was bizarre. It was a combination of, wow, no traffic light. for 30 miles. That's kind of interesting and not too common. That all of a sudden we were there, and it didn't make sense to how that could have happened. Like zero sense.
Yeah, I love it.
Right?
I love those moments or those experiences where it does feel like time bends or something bigger than us steps in and does some shuffling behind
Yeah.
the scenes of reality or experience. So
I
nice.
like the sound of that. I'm gonna have to put creative time bender on my business card somewhere.
Perfect. I
The
think that
result of this show.
I love it. Always to I'm happy to inspire new creative
There we go.
experiences. My well, so it has been such a treasure to chat with you, and I have one more question. It's a
The same.
question
Yeah.
I ask every person that I interview, and that's what would you say is your secret to creativity?
What comes to me is the, that term, the half smile.
Yeah.
There's something that it's my, like, the supercharger secret in the box behind all the curtains. That if I'm challenged, and I'm not thinking about this in recent years, but it's when I used to paint. And you can really get lost in the creative process, and not lost in a bad way, lost in a really good way. And it's one thing to breathe and one thing to focus. But when someone introduced me to this half smile, so when I'm in that spot and I forget, or I'm just feeling like, wow, I'm really hanging out for quite a while in this uncertainty or not knowing or whatnot, and I just practiced that. Someone had taught it to me. Viewers can look it up, Buddhist practices and all sorts of other different technologies, speak of it and utilize it. And I would just employ that little kind of lifting of the throat palate and semi-smiling on the inside of my outside face. I'm amazed at the shift and the, like, it's almost like a little bit of happiness comes in. It doesn't solve everything, but
Sure.
all of a sudden with that comes movement and a shift deeper into the creativity, and things start grooving and moving, and plus it just feels good.
I
So
love it. I mean, what a great little skill to employ and try. And that movement, so that secret of creating movement by doing the half smile can propel you into a new space or a new idea. I love it. Thank you for sharing
absolutely.
that. And thank
Super
you
fun.
so much for taking the time to chat with me. It's been super, super fun.
Same. I love it.
Yay! And if people wanted to learn more about you or get in touch with you, how might they go about doing that?
The best way is my website, myfortcollinschiropractor.com. And that'll give you a way to contact me, whether it's phone or email, and give you a little bit of information about the office and stuff like that. And we can take it from there.
Nice. That's wonderful. And you're also on Facebook.
Oh, yeah. The onslaught of the Insta Tweety
The
face.
onslaught of social media,
Yeah.
yes. But I'll put all of this in show notes so
Oh,
everyone will
thanks,
be able
Mari.
to connect and find you. And thank you
Yes.
so much for taking time out of your day to
Ah,
chat about creativity.
I love it. In fact, I really appreciate, I feel so good just sharing with you and just remembering the depth and power of all of it. So thank you, Mari.
You are so welcome, and I love that it can. I love that talking about creativity can do that for people,
Yeah,
that it
right.
can inspire and support new fun things happening. So, thanks for participating.
My pleasure. Mwah, 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 mwah.
Ah. Thanks for listening to the Sustaining Creativity Podcast. We'd love to keep in touch, so like us on Facebook and Instagram. We are Sustaining Creativity. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Tag your friends and your family so they can listen too.
We love to hear from you, so leave your comments, reviews, and questions. Tune in Tuesdays for a new episode. And remember, with creativity, anything's possible.